there's wonderful examples of that, and even, you know, a wonderful person arriving at my house with an herbal friend last night, and Canadian young man, Colin Wright, herbalist, really hip guy and everything, and he said, I've been dreaming a lot lately, which is available, and he said, I have to set this up, he said, because I don't like Hillary. She gives me conniption fits, but I had this dream in which we were having tea, and she was really, really likable, and we were having a great time, and then right to the left of where we were seated, you know, we both wafted our arms this way, and this fantastic river began running clean, and it came in and surrounded us, and I woke up and thought, wow, and I go, what a great dream, right? Again, people operate in the dream world. You know, Obama shows up in all kinds of dreams, and when people were so grumpy about, you know, and churlish, really, about Obama, yes, there are things to critique, but also incredibly, discourage the bad, encourage the good. But Obama shows up in a lot of dreams, and I met people at the one of the Stop the XL Pipeline thing, and these were women who worked for an African charity to educate young people. And when Obama won, you know, the Nobel Prize, for which he got a lot of flack, but he... just nobody knew. He gave all that money to that organization dedicated to educating young people who are in poverty. And that night, those five women were the board of directors. They said Obama appeared to them in each one of their dreams that night. And they had this great conversation. You know, and also whenever we've done rituals, whenever I've done rituals in front of the White House, and again, blessing everything. It can be fierce blessing. You know, but again, critique and bless. Otherwise, we're in servitude to the Dementors. And I would always take Obama's chart. It's a great chart because we have his birth certificate. some of the trickster councils, you know, we would conjure this. You know, may the ancestors place a cloak of guiding earth wisdom around your shoulders, and a council of wise wolves keep you and your family safe. And every time I've done that, I would blow a little muti. Wah! Within 5 seconds, he steps out of the White House. Waves, you know. Very mythologically responsive. So we can critique, like, oh, the drones are terrible, and we go, yeah, but whatever we speak to. Whatever we speak to in another, you know, and that's why also for anybody who's watching the debate on Monday, oh, definitely, I recommend bitters. I recommend organic bitters are really good, digestive bitters, so that we can transform. Yes, oh, that's right. People are holding up their bitters in the audience. That's great. That's right. Now you want to get ready because you can't watch TV alone without metabolizing the poison. So I recommend setting up juju and mojo and candles and bitters and people also certainly, of course, according to their own, may not want to watch at all. But we go, yeah, I think it's kind of mojo time and, you know, what we wish they'd said or the backstage thing or the surprising dynamic. So it's also part of our dynamic to dispel the glamour of corruption. I heard a wonderful little radio piece in which a woman said, the essence of all terrorism is corruption, the root of it. You know, because if you're in an unjust society and somebody comes along, say like ISIS or Daesh, and says, you know, come join us and we will root out corruption. Right, we'll go. Oh, yeah. So rooting out corruption is crucial, but there's a glamour to corruption, which we're seeing right in this very trippy and toxic, and potentially beautiful campaign. I love the writings of Terry Pratchett. I love the last book he wrote, in which the young girl witch must protect what she loves from invading demonic forces. And in an earlier book, her task was to disrupt the cunning man. And the cunning man is creates mob mind in which people can do terrible things, right? You know, and he says she says we can all feel this when we say to ourselves, I don't know what got into me. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I reacted that way. You know, the cop who shot the man in Florida who was hands up and who was just a therapist for an autistic kid, you know, asked the cop, why did you shoot me? And the cop said, I don't know. And it's like, wow. So I think, disrupting the possession. You know, it's also more from the sacred teachings of Star Trek via Eddie Izzard. I just love this because Eddie Izzard said, you know, Star Trek, a very advanced civilization, and yet their phasers only had two settings, stun or kill. And he said, we need many, many, many more settings, right? And he goes through a riff. My favorite one is the sudden interest in botany setting. I will kill you. Oh, look at the moss. Whoa. How beautiful. The left kettle on at home setting. Wait a minute. So we're encouraged to amplify our phaser settings, right? For all these things, but also in the last book that Terry Pratchett wrote as he was dying, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. So bad glamour. They look great. They look Trumpian. They look whatever. They look all beautiful, but they're invading and they're toxic and they're dangerous to life. And the fairy queen is sort of turned sides, and she says to the witches, you're not prepared for this onslaught of toxic glamour. And the witches are like, we're immune to glamour. We don't know what you're talking about. And the fairy queen says, let me show you what you're up against. And everybody goes, I am the greatest priestess of the incarnation of Venus. I am one of the 144 special people. I am the beloved of Saint Germain. I'm nothing. I'm a worm. I'm whatever. Anyway, they come out and they go, wow, that was strong. They are taught this chant, and again, I invite everybody to take it home in your magic backpack, Yan Tan Tethera. And it actually just means 1, 2, 3 in the wizard language, but Yan Tan Tethera. And so, you know, as you watch TV, you know, Yan Tan Tethera. May the false glamour be protected and liberated from the false glamour. So just for the fun of it, we might do it together. Yan Tan Tethera. All right, let's spiral it out there. Yan Tan Tethera. Excellent. Oh, we've done good work. Avert. And I also like boomerang. You know, anything up to no good. Boomerang, which means it goes back to where it came from with a lemon meringue pie in the face. Boomerang. So there's many, many things I could do, but I'm not going to do those right now. To tell you who wins the election, you'll have to join the Trickster Training Council for that. flyers in the back. But the importance of mythological literacy... I do the mythic news with my Pacifica cohorts who are like, blah, blah, blah. But it is really crucial, you know, to know mythology because Venus was just emerging from the underworld, you know, during the Republican Convention. And in Mesoamerica, Venus is a guy, Quetzalcoatl. And the myth is that Quetzalcoatl is a pretty good leader, and then he gets a little remote, and people start to whisper about him. And Tezcatlipoca, the lord of the smoking mirror, comes to him and goes, you're getting old, you know. You know, here, drink this balche. Drink this power, dominance, toxic, alcoholic drink. You'll feel much better, you know. And you won't mind the Bayer-Monsanto merger. here, drink this thing. And so he does, and he does terrible things, and he sleeps with his sister, or if he's Trump, his daughter. But anyway, wakes up in the morning going, wow, I have really screwed up. And he sails away. That's their version of Venus going to the underworld. And everyone would have known it's time to reinvent leadership. Leadership has become corrupt, and it's gone away. But it will come back. And due to a terrible historic accident of mythological non-literacy, on the day when Quetzalcoatl was supposed to return is when Cortez, the thug, arrives. And they mistake Cortez for the wise leader, right? And then so that was happening during the Republican Convention. You know, Venus was reemerging from the underworld in Leo. People were looking for the wise king, and it's like, no, it's not a man. It's certainly not this man. You know, but the yearning for the wise, despotic king is in our bones and blood, you know, but that's why we want to know myth. You know, especially in people who don't believe in this stuff, you know, the myths like, oh, Venus is returning, we need a wise king. A wise king inside each one of us, not a dingbat outside. So when I stepped out of, you know, how many people remember from ancient schoolwork Shirley Jackson's short story, The Lottery? Did any people? Right. Quite a lot of people. All right. So that's sort of what the Republican Convention was like. And briefly, you don't have to read it. You don't have to go back to sixth grade to read it. But it's a community where everybody's very nice. Everybody's very nice. But once a year, somebody gets a bad lottery number, and they have to go sit in the middle of the stadium where the rest of the community hates them to death. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Republican Convention was a little like that. There were interesting conversations aside, but once the mob mind got together, it was like, whoa. And so I stepped out at the very end of the thing and was like, whoa. And I remember standing under the stars going, at that time, I was like, oh, Bernie, oh, no, that's our hope. That's not our assignment, apparently. Although we can write mythic headlines, you know, November 9th headlines. It was as though Bernie Sanders won. So great was the enormous election of so many great kick-butt progressive women. I mean, let's write this stuff. Let's write the desirable. And but I did have this feeling. I go, I think Trump is possessed, kind of like brain dead, by a cunning, demonic retrovirus, and you can see, and I like the model of possession because you can see when it lets him go and he just goes flat, right? And then he has that evil gleam, like I'm corrupt and I'm proud of it, you know. And I go, right. So it's going to take all of the magic and the wizards and the everything and the particular conundrum, because it's like, you know, voting for Hillary. I mean, a lot of people are like, no, and we go, easy, easy. We want to speak to ourselves like we would speak to beautiful spooked horses. Easy, easy, steady. No, no, oh, steady. There you go. We're electing a story. It's going to be okay. Okay. But, you know, I think, you know, it's like Reverend Ike says, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. I think it's, again, dissolving the thing and being the antidote also of inviting the best. The initiation of Mars is crucial. You know, it's uninitiated Mars destroying the world. So, you know, we want you to do this great thing. You know, and again, it's so possible because we know we are wealthy with ingenious solutions to all of the horrible things we humans have created by collaborating with everything, with the wolves and the everything. And I do love that the wolves and coyotes are now mating, creating a new species. It's called coy wolf. But my friend Robin said, because I said coy wolf, it sounds like shy wolf, which is not quite it. And she was like, how about wolf-o-dy? And I go, wolf-o-dy, wolf-o-dy it is. You know, may the wolf-o-dy be born within us. Because wolves vary Saturn. I mean, they play every 30 minutes no matter what. Even when they're hunted, they play every 30 minutes as a crucial thing. And even when they're hunting. But they're very Saturn, very structured. You know, great models of leadership. Everybody's got a job to do. Very Saturn. So coyotes, not so much. Like, I'm going to steal that thing. but the mating creates an evolutionary advantage that we might all want to think about, to have a supportive pack that encourages our unique trickster cultivation. And that's happening in the sky. Saturn trining Uranus is a theme towards the end of this year, all throughout. Whatever, disciplined wildness. And it's happening in nature, so we do love that. You know, it's also in keeping with the fierce blessing. You know, when Wanda Sykes said, you know, Rush Limbaugh wants Obama to fail, so I want his kidneys to fail, and we go, we understand that, Wanda, that's good, but the trickster model is we only set in motion that of which we would be happy recipients. So we would wish everyone in the debate, everyone's kidneys to work so well that they flush all the poison out of their system and leave them in a pool of befuddled innocence. We go, that's more the trickster fun. Yeah, exactly. Ashe to that. Yes, exactly. And that includes, you know, I was visited, somebody brought this wonderful, learned, magically learned rabbi to my house going, oh, okay. And he seemed pretty open, so I ran this by him. I said, I have a problem, an issue with the Abrahamic religions, so full of laws and rules and thou shalt. And you go, and I said, I think of the Abrahamic religions as like beautiful shipwrecks on which barnacles and beautiful coral have grown. And he said, that's perfect, right? So Islam is so, you know, there's such yearning and beauty that has grown up around the thing, you know, and again, we look for the beauty. We invite that in. So we say, you know, the initiation of Mars, our own healing is accomplished by deeper dedication to contributing our medicine gift. And part of what Jupiter would say to each one of us, you know, I will make you all wealthy by your own definition of wealth. Don't worry about how. That's not your job. Jupiter and Uranus chime in and say, we'll do how. You just wonder about what. What do you want to feel like? What do you want to feel like to others? you write it, we'll book it. You know, and the Jupiter in Libra says, you know, you can think of in 12-year cycles in a number of ways. It says, what did you want to do in 2004? And the backstage gods go, you weren't quite ready. Culture wasn't ready. Now you're ready. Culture's receptive. So it says, well, just ruminate on that. Ruminate on that. Because the sun right now is conjoining Jupiter, first time in 12 years at the autumnal equinox. And we go, ooh. Another way to think about it is that whatever was started 12 years ago is like a circle that wants to get struck by lightning and turn into a spiral, like, poof. So, you know, for everyone here and everyone here that we go out and talk to everyone here, you know, it's like we do good things that become stories that inspire people to do good things that become stories. And we go, that's how it wants to go, our dangerous, beautiful assignment. So we do want to throw some things into the cauldron. I have some suggestions, and then we can participate. But so it's like tossing things in and then ladling out. So on behalf of ourselves and others, it would be really great, don't you think, if we tossed in non-useful dread. No. Non-useful dread non-useful into the cauldron?
Non-useful dread.
Oh, wait, I have a... Yes, that's right. I knew I had a death rattle here somewhere. Okay. It's a death rattle. And so, you know, and also for the fun of it, let's throw in just the overused word. Words can be tired and want to get thrown into the cauldron. I like, you know, the employing of the word wound as a metaphor. It's tired. It's been working hard for 20, 30 years. And so I'd like to throw the word wound, you know, and trauma into the cauldron.
Trauma.
And ladle out our dangerous, beautiful assignment. Yay. which is, again, everybody here has got a mission. Everybody's got a unique dynamic. Everybody's got something to contribute that nobody else can do. Everybody's a unique experiment. We want to be in culture and in association. We're allergic to tyranny and relationships that encourage our uniqueness. So we throw into the cauldron specialness, which is kind of like a celebrity thing, because that's passive. That's a passive con. And we ladle out unique. Each person who cultivates their uniqueness liberates everybody else to cultivate their uniqueness. Again, it's I like also, let's toss anger into the cauldron and ladle and transform it into desire. You know, angry about that, but what do you want? What do you want? You know. And also I do love, I was at the yoga festival where there was a film on Swami Satchidananda, and Larry King had been interviewing him, and Swami Satchidananda was saying, you know, anger is useless. And Larry King was going, sometimes it's just really appropriate. You know, what if I walk into my bedroom and I see my wife making love with another man? Don't I get to be angry? And Swami, what would you do, Swami? And Swami Satchidananda said, I would ask them both if they wanted tea. And he said, because then you own the situation. And we go, that's so fun, yeah. So because each you know deliberate celebration of the change of season stirs our creative powers. Thus saith Norhal. But you know, with this Mercury retrograde the last couple of weeks, going, you know, how about we would like to release old patterns of self torment. Wouldn't that be good? Yes, old patterns of self-torment. Right. And all of that. And also, you know, on a deeper level, okay, the redefining of things. You know, having hung out on occasion, on strange occasions, where I would get a weird showing up of policemen for astrological readings. And I just remember one of them saying, don't tell my partner this because he'll think I'm crazy. But then he had a clairvoyant experience, a precognition. He saw something before it happened. And then his partner comes in and goes, don't tell my partner this, but I had this psychic thing. And I go, you know, you guys should talk. We're hiring police to be shamans, to walk the life death, but woefully, completely missing the point, the definition of their job. So against all odds, we want to completely re-envision it. I want to see police with great thermoses of ginger and turmeric anti-inflammatory tea, going, sir, I notice you're a little troubled. Here, have a cup of tea. Here I have a Rabindranath Tagore poem for you. We want to completely be agents of cool-out and Venusian intimacy, a complete redoing, yes, against all odds, but we want to put it into the memesphere, all of those beautiful things. And we throw into the cauldron reaction. And ladle out responses.
There we go,
responses, that's wonderful. And let's, into the composting cauldron, all vituperative, vitriolic, okay. And ladle out witty guidance, or whatever. I think that melancholy, everybody can play with this thing. Melancholy can be a con, meaning it's sort of a circle. And what does melancholy want to be but yearning? So I want to throw melancholy into the cauldron and liberate melancholy into aspirational yearning. Like, whew, the saxophone, the... Well, we don't have a saxophone. Next time we'll have a saxophone. There's all of that. So because Mercury retrograded all the way back to station, appeared to stand still on the autumnal equinox at 14 Virgo, exactly trining Pluto. So the voices of the dead. I love Berta Cáceres' incredible murdered activist on behalf of the land that she loved, and the wonderful indigenous women who were honoring her at a subsequent gathering, and they say, Berta Cáceres, Berta didn't die, she multiplied, right? So we go back, and it says, we can't live through the dead, but we can invite the dead to live through us. These wild winds that are sweeping. I was playing with my different trickster councils, going, how about if we throw lies into the cauldron? But remember... Well, wait for a moment here. But remember, remember, whatever we do applies to us, right? And I go, lies, is there any... Could I get into trouble by throwing all lies into the cauldron? No, I think we should do it. But I do remember wonderful counsel from my friend Barbara Dunn eons ago, in which she said, Caroline, you can do anything you want except lie to yourself. Meaning, this is happy. I don't care if my boyfriend's sleeping with three women. It's fine. You can do anything except lie to yourself. And then, with many other conversations, too, going, yeah, how do we lie to ourselves? Going, well, if I stay up late tonight, it'll be fine because I'll get up at 8 and I can write a book by 9, and then I can do it. And it's like, no. So I think it would be fun, though, to throw all lies into the cauldron. All right, shall we do that? Yeah. And that includes self-lies into the cauldron. I don't know. What do you want to? What are we getting?
Before I put it in.
That's right. Oh, a wise businesswoman. That's right. Okay. All right. Now, what do I get out of this deal if I trade? I've got three lies for That's right. I'll give you this thing for. That's right. Well, what would you like to get out if you? What should we get out of the deal if we throw lies in? Liberating truth. It's a little earnest. Clarity is good. Wait, who said clarity?
Freedom,
that's good, okay. There's no say, she's a tough room right here. I'm not giving up my lies for just clarity and freedom. Okay. What about you throw lies in and you get just the most fantastic hot lover you've ever wanted? Okay, all right, let's do that, okay. There we go. So, excellent. So, everything into the cauldron now, again, all teachings, no matter how sacred, everything is only improved by the cauldron. Pluto loves to provide this for us. So, we go all sacred teachings, everything into the cauldron, meaning is it equal? Does it guide people to their own autonomy as opposed to outsourcing their autonomy to some person or thing or belief structure? So, is it equal? Does it guide people to their own autonomy? Is it equal Mars and Venus, in dynamic collaborative accord? Is the truth welcome? Can the truth be said without cringing, Is trickster invited? All right. So we throw everything into the cauldron, blah, 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 and we answer those questions, and if we can say, yeah, You know, it guides people to their own autonomy. It's equal Mars and Venus. The truth can be said without fear. Trickster is welcome. We ladle it out. Yes. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. That's perfectly good. Remember that the Aramaic word that Jesus would have spoken that is translated to us as evil, in Aramaic it means unripe, which is much more fruitful, really, you know? You know, because what do we do? Again, metaphoric agility. What do we do with unripe things? We put them in a brown paper bag. So let's just imagine a giant brown paper bag descending over Congress. There we go. There we go. So that's good. And then also, here's part of the kind of subtle shifting, too, just for the fun of it. You know, without being too goody-goody, you know, I've been trying this one in vernacular. You know, when we say, I've got to do something, you know, how about I get to do something, you know? And it's, and then we're allowed to blow it and go, no, I've got to, goddammit. But to reframe the kind of the thing that feels like a burden into the embraced opportunity, right? You know, I get to come talk to you guys. We get to be here in Kahooting. We get to go to work. We get to, you know. So just for that fun, we might throw the O into the cauldron. Oh, I've got to the O into the cauldron. It'll like it. It'll swim around. Okay. And we ladle out the E. The E, get to. We get to do all this stuff that we thought we didn't want to. It's like, I also like to say, you know, when people say, how long will we have war? And I go, as long as we keep using it as a metaphor. So again, expanding, it's like, again, Trickster says, we can use the word fight for justice, fight for, you know, we're going to fight climate change. And but it wants to be one of many, many, many words. Because we know from neuroscience that when we use the word fight, it sends a cascade of testosterone, adrenaline through our body. Our minds are metaphoric. So we're going to fight that. And already you're in a stance. We go, right. And we're not going to fight climate change. Fighting is what got us into that. You know, we're going to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. I know it's long. You know, but that, again, that's why we turn it over to everybody's creative genius to go, experimenting. And just for the fun of it, you know, just something that annoys me is, I want to throw into the cauldron, too much lip gloss on women on TV. just way too much. You know, I think it's just they're snookered into being like an obedient blowjob mouth. And Trickster says, here's a tissue. Just blot that out. So I want to put too much lip gloss on women on TV into the cauldron and ladle out some tissues just to blot the thing, going, go, born free. Born free. There you go. All right. So, you know, and we throw, you know, WikiLeaks is okay. Blah, 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 blah. But we ladle out WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth in the fullness of time. That was our dress rehearsal for what we're about to do now. For our rousing finale, yes, our empresses of creative competence are handing out musical instruments for the fun thing. So, yeah, so let us gather woof and support and invite in all that we need to be agents of liberating Trickster to toss, you know, think of something you'd like to toss lightning at, because you all get to go away with lightning in your magic backpack. Some circumstance in our life, our neighborhood, in the world, where we throw lightning at the closed circle, turn it into a liberating spiral. There we go. You know, pandemonium. We want pandemonium, meaning pan is everywhere. So, do people have their instruments? Yes, so guide us into our rousing finale and make sure to turn the instruments back in at the end. Okay, so all right. Take us away here.
If you have an instrument, go ahead and start shaking it, hitting it, playing it, play along. All right.
We're not done. This is just a brief pause to say the word Aizan. Aizan is an Amharic word. It means support and encouragement to embrace challenge when embarking on a difficult journey. So we go, Aizan, everyone.
Aizan.
And then we take the perfectly wonderful Mars power fist of the 60s, right? And we turn it, and then from the fist, we turn it into an open palm of blessing. Wah! And we say again, Aizan.
Aizan.
Thank you.
Let me hear you guys. So as you play your instrument or you move your body, take that energy of what you want to put into the cauldron and put it in your instrument. Put it in your movement. Let's all beat together. Let me hear you guys.
One last rousing blessing, spiraling blessing into the world. There we go. Woo, 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 woo. Yay. Thank you, team. Thank you, Katie Gahn. Thank you, Katie Gahn. Yay. Yay.
And
Caroline Casey, thanking all of you for doing this beautiful trickster work. Woof, woof, says the wolf coyote, the woofody. May the woof-odie live in your hearts and guide your path. Woof, thank you, team. Yay.